the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Habitation of your house
and the place where your glory dwells.
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity,
and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering.
Prove me, O Lord, and try me.
Test my heart and my mind.
I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord,
proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teaching and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 29th chapter. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord says, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who says, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? It is not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. And in that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God."
They are corrupt. They are abominable deeds. There is none who does good.
The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man
to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God.
They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt.
There is none who does good, not even one.
Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers?
Who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the Lord.
There they are in great terror.
For God is with the generation of the righteous.
You would shame the plans of the poor.
But the Lord is his refuge.
Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion.
When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the 5th chapter. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and to the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses says, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord.
From the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today is from the second reading, the letter to the Ephesians. The Holy Spirit, speaking through St. Paul, said this: Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is our text. The Holy Spirit, not only in the book of Ephesians, but elsewhere in Scripture as well, the Holy Spirit has plenty to say to us about marriage, and we need to hear it. He tells us what marriage is: the union of one man, a husband, and one woman, a wife. He tells us how marriage is to be. Wives are to submit to their husbands. That is, they are to respect and honor the husbands God has given them, and husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies, nourishing and cherishing them. The Holy Spirit also tells us that earthly marriage is a window into something supernatural and divine. When we talk about husbands and wives here on earth, the Holy Spirit would have us also look to the relationship of the church with Christ. And I should add today as well that while this passage is directed specifically to husbands and wives, it wasn't written only for husbands and wives. It was written for the whole church. For all people in whatever situation you're in, for married and unmarried, for young and old, for widow and widower as well. And today I want to focus especially on two phrases that are in this text to the Ephesians. Two phrases about the relationship between the church and Christ and its application to marriage. The phrases are these: as the church submits to Christ. As the church submits to Christ. And the second one: as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wives are exhorted by the Holy Spirit to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. To me, this raises an obvious question, which is, just how does the church submit to Christ? Is the church's submission to Christ a harsh and difficult thing? Or is the church's submission to Christ a cheerful and willing thing? Do we Christians find it easy or hard to live under Christ as our head, to follow where he leads, to hear what he says, to receive what he gives, and to honor and respect him? It's a question worth asking, and it's one that I often will ask when I'm going through pre-marriage or marriage counseling with a couple. We can answer it in a number of different ways, and the answer we give to that question, just how does the church submit to Christ, the answer we give depends on whether we view it from the perspective of our sinful nature or from the perspective of our new life in Christ. For our sinful nature, submitting to Christ is difficult. I often have been expecting the other answer when I ask that question, but it's always striking to me when someone says, it's really hard to submit to Christ. There's an honesty to that. No, it's actually worse than hard. It's worse than difficult. For your and my sinful natures, it is impossible to submit to Christ. Your sinful nature doesn't want to hear what Christ says. It doesn't fear him. It doesn't love him. It doesn't trust him. It has exactly zero interest in obeying Christ. Instead, like a disobedient child, when our Lord tells us one thing, our sinful nature does what? The exact opposite. It runs from him. It wants to do the very thing he tells us not to do. And my sinful nature does the same. So when we hear the words of today's text, this is how our sinful nature reacts. Submit? I would rather rule. Love? Only myself. The sinful nature is in rebellion against Christ. We try to throw him off. We complain about him. We complain about what he gives. We consider what he says and the way he calls us to live to be too difficult, to be too constricting, to be too narrow, and too stifling. How can I be myself and submit to Christ at the same time? How can I be authentic to who I am with Christ as my ruler and Lord? We think that being true to ourselves requires us to be free of everything outside, including God. So too often we insist on marching to the beat of our own drummer, maybe in large ways or in small ones, but we insist on that. We pursue our own unhealthy desires. We seek after what feels good or what feels right to us rather than what God says is good and right. Jesus warns us against this in the Gospel of Mark, not the passage we read today, but the section that follows it. I think we'll hear it next Sunday. What makes you and me unclean is what comes from inside of us, not what comes from outside of us. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, Jesus says. And I always get the feeling that he could have just gone on and on and on. All these things, he says, come from within, and they defile a person. And this rebellion is especially evident with respect to marriage. We could, of course, point to all the ways in which our society and we ourselves, going along with our society, have rebelled against God's word. Disdaining marriage through living together and cohabitation. The plague of no-fault divorce. Calling things marriage that aren't marriage. Undermining the exclusivity and the permanence intended for marriage. Misusing God's gifts of sexuality, fornication, porn, the list could go on. But it all starts with our unwillingness to honor God. And you know, these things that the Holy Spirit tells us in Ephesians 5, we find them hard. We do. That word submit, it's just too old-fashioned. It's too out of date, we say. Like something from Victorian England or the 1950s, or even more shocking and horrible, like something you might find under the Taliban. That, of course, is not what the scriptures mean by this word, but that's what we tend to hear and think. Our sinful nature bristles at the idea. Why? Because our sinful nature wants to be its own master. It will submit to nothing but its own desires. And what about that word love? We don't really have issues with that word love, but I would say that the word love has been corrupted. It's been taken over by Disney, among other things. We've allowed love to become all about ourselves and how we feel. All about ourselves and how we feel, rather than being about a description of things that we should do and how we should act. When the scriptures talk about love, it is not describing a feeling, it is describing an act. But instead, we make others earn our love, earn our affection. We're so coiled in on ourselves, so turned inward, so willing to serve ourselves and so unwilling to serve anyone else. The old roommate in us, the sinful nature, you know, the one who lives with you that you wish didn't, it would rather destroy everything. It would rather destroy spouse and marriage than die. It says, I'll die before I submit to anyone or anything, and that includes Christ. And I'll go to my death, loving myself first and best of all. That's what our sinful nature says. If we're really honest with ourselves, in the darkest moments, in the deepest corners, this is how we think and this is what we feel. And if we're honest, we can say that there's nothing appealing about being married to that, is there? There's nothing joyful or exciting or wonderful about being tied to our sinful nature, and we know it. And this is what makes the second part of our reading today so astounding, so amazing, because it says this: as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Now we can imagine a man devoting himself to a bride with a lovely character and a beautiful spirit. We can imagine a prince charming, loving till death, a beautiful princess who is kind and who is respectful. We can imagine a man giving his life for a good woman. But a good woman is hard to find, and so is a good man. In fact, the description we just heard about our sinful nature shows, as we said already in the psalm today, that there is no one who is good. No man, no woman, except of Christ, of course, our Lord. So who in their right mind would love someone like that? Someone like us, someone like you and me, who would do for us the sort of thing described in our reading today, giving a life for us to make us holy and unblemished? For us selfish sinners who refuse to submit and love only ourselves, who would love us? And St. Paul makes it clear, Christ would love us. And not only would he love us, but he did. Christ loved the church. That's why he went to the cross. Why I put the image of the crucifixion on the very front of the bulletin. In a sermon and service focused on marriage and weddings, I put Christ on the cover. He loved you. He loved me. He loved husbands. He loved wives. He loved marriage. He loved widows and widowers and children. He loved sinners of all kinds, including those who have sinned within marriage and against marriage. And out of love for us, he joined himself to us. He married us, the church, rebellion, sin, warts, and all. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. You see the picture here? The picture of a human being, of the church, that is filled with sin and soiled by its own unrighteousness. And yet, by the time Christ does his work for his bride, how does she appear? But glorious, beautiful, holy, unblemished, more lovely after he serves her than before. And this is what Christ has done. We have brought to him nothing but our sin and our shame, and Christ has taken it. He bore our sin and our shame to the cross. He covered it with his own blood. He buried it in his grave. We have been washed by water with the word, holy baptism. Being baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, he has washed you clean, and he has given you a new life. And your Lord, you can be sure of this, your Lord will be faithful to you even unto death, unto his death, and unto yours as well. He has committed himself to you with a vow and a promise that can never be broken, sealed by his own blood shed for you and his body given for you. The picture that St. Paul gives of marriage and of Christ in the church, he uses also the image of a head and a body. He pictures Christ as the head of the church and the church as the body. Pictures the husband as the head of the family and the wife as the body. How hard is it for your body to submit to your head? At times we might say that it's difficult. difficult for our body to obey the things that we know and think up here. But on the other hand, I think we would all acknowledge that our bodies tend to do what our minds and heads direct them to do, willingly and joyfully and cheerfully. When you put your hand on the hot stove, you reach out to touch it, and those neurons fire up to your brain. Your brain tells your hand to move, and it does what? It moves when your body and brain are working well. You see, the image that we have of Christ in the church, of the head and the body, is an image of submission and loveliness and life together that is so beautiful and so harmonious and so fitting. When we know who Christ is, when we recognize what he has done for us, when we see how he has taken us sinners and covered us with his blood and washed away all our sin, how can we not but joyfully receive what he gives and rejoice in what he says? How can we not love his promises and all that our Lord does and gives to us? When our Lord washes us with his absolution, when he places into our mouths his true body and his true blood, when he says to us, I am your Lord, and I will love you and take care of you until death and beyond. Who wouldn't want that? And who doesn't love that? As the church submits to Christ, in Christ we are new creations, and in Christ we love our Lord, and we love the sacrifice he has made for us. And we are gathered here, in fact, because we desire to submit ourselves to him and to be under his care and under his forgiveness. That is why you are here, that the body may receive its life from Christ our head, that the body may follow Christ our head wherever he leads, even through death, into life everlasting. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us then take this to heart. Let us recognize that Christ is the bridegroom of the church, and that we are his bride, covered by his blood, made holy and unblemished. And as beautiful as we already are by Christ's forgiveness, we have no idea how beautiful we will be. The day is coming when, covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness, when washed clean by his blood, our sin will be as far from us as the east from the west, and it will be remembered no more. When our shame will be buried and gone forever, when our sadnesses and our strifes will be at an end. The day is coming. The bridegroom will return, and he will gather us, his bride, into his mansion and his kingdom forever. So as we hear what the Holy Spirit says through St. Paul, let us take note. Wives, submit to your own husbands as the church submits to Christ. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The mystery is profound, not just the mystery of marriage, but the mystery of our Lord and us, of Christ and his church, the one who left his father and his mother to be joined to you. Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And who left his mother standing at the foot of the cross and gave her into the hands of the disciple John. He left them, he gave his life, he laid it down for you and for me. This is Christ in the church, a picture of husbands and wives, a marriage that he has made with you and me that will have no end. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Spirit within me. I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a true faith, that we would honor God not just with our lips, but serve him faithfully with all of our heart, mind, and strength, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christ's bride, the church, and for all pastors, that the good news of Jesus Christ would be purely preached and the sacraments be faithfully administered, that we may be holy and spotless through Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the baptized children of God, that they may find joy and hope in the waters of holy baptism and rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that Christ freely pours out in this saving flood, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians, that we would not reject God's commandments for the doctrine of men, but rather keep God's commandments in thought, word, and deed, honoring him in all that we do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For husbands and wives, that wives would submit to their husbands as to the Lord, and husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Abby LeBaire and Kaylee Phelps, that the Lord would be with them through the time of pregnancy, labor, and delivery, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For children of all ages, that they would not despise or anger their father and mother, but always honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those facing difficult life and death decisions, that the Lord of life would guide them and lead them to make God-pleasing decisions, affirming that life is a precious gift from God. And for all who mourn the death of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Barbara Palamaki, that they would find comfort in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and its leaders, all civil servants, and those whose work imperils them for the sake of their neighbor, for the people of Haiti and Afghanistan, and all who work to provide relief and order amid disaster and political turmoil, and especially for our service men and women involved in the evacuation, including Jeremy Henriksen's cousin, Sean, that the good and gracious will of God might be done among them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the people and communities in the path of the storm, that the Lord would spare lives and property, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer physically, emotionally, and spiritually on account of illness, for Carlene Breen, Donna Shalafo, Virginia Fleming, Ed Pinard, Stan Thompson, Tim Moore, Bobby Ewing, Margot Gendron, Brian Cormier, Colleen, Phyllis Hoffman, Dan, Patty, and Josh, George Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Audrey Linick, Nancy McTye, Phyllis Moss, Lucy Naylor, MJ Oaks, Alicia Reinhardt, Nancy Roberts, and Ted Roberts, that God would encourage each of them with his word and grace, and that he would bless all medical professionals and healthcare workers with the skills necessary to give relief and care to their pain where possible. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who partake in the fellowship of this altar and receive Christ's body and blood this day, that God would strengthen their faith and sustain them by this holy communion until life everlasting, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith towards you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me, the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.